Reverse auctions can save agencies money, but only if agencies use them the right way. That's according to Dan Gordon. He testified about reverse auctions to the House Small Business Committee. He's a procurement professor at George Washington University, former administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, and here to talk about his testimony. Dan, did I crystallize your sentiments to the committee correctly? Thanks for being on the program today.
Francis, I'm delighted to be here, and yes, you crystallized my sentiments precisely. Reverse auctions can be very helpful to the government, but we need to be sure that we're handling them properly.
What's the good, what are good uses and what are not as good uses of reverse auctions? Not necessarily specific examples, but types of things.
You bet. The sort of classic example that's particularly good is a commodity where all you care about is price. You can say exactly what you're looking for, and just your companies are competing on price for that.
You told the committee the biggest problem is the difficulty in knowing the real details behind the contracts. Why is that a problem, and where does that come from?
Well, and I should say, I told the committee that the best report on this is really the GAO report from about 13, 14 months ago. And GAO pointed out that the agencies aren't collecting the data. It's actually pretty shocking. The agencies don't have the information. I don't recall ever seeing a GAO report that relied so heavily on a private company's data when what GAO was talking about and reporting about was the government's use of reverse auctions. But the fact is, the agencies don't have the data. There's a private company and a very good company called FedBid that many of your listeners know about, and FedBid collects the data that GAO had to rely on.
The data is part of the issue, too. And I talked about this after the hearing with my colleague Jason Miller, who's been following the reverse auction issue for a long time, and you have had a lot of discussions with him about this issue. At some point in time, with all due respect to our friend Joe Jordan, who now is the head of FedBid, somebody else is going to get into that business, and GSA has already started to do it a little bit. FedBid has a large amount of market share in that space now, but that's not probably going to last forever, will it, Dan?
No, actually, GAO's report, which again is the best information you got out there, talked about FedBid getting more than 99% of the reverse auctions that are showing up in the databases. That's pretty darn close to a monopoly. I think that Google or Microsoft or whatever would be pretty amazed at the idea of getting 99% of the market. But it is not a healthy situation. FedBid does a great job. I don't want anybody to understand my testimony to be criticizing them. They have done a huge public service by setting up these platforms, by helping agencies do reverse auctions. My question is it time for us now to be sure that there is another source? And if GSA is able to do good reverse auctions, it'd be great. I have to tell you, Francis, I sometimes joke that the only reason it's taken so long for the federal agencies to do their own reverse auctions is they're not allowed to hire 16-year-olds. If they could hire a couple of 16-year-old boys and girls, they could probably set up one of these auctions in an afternoon.
Dan Gordon of George Washington University is here, and he testified at a House Small Business Committee hearing about reverse auctions. One of the things you told the committee, according to my colleague Sean McCauley's story on federalnewsradio.com, it's still troubling that federal agencies, according to GAO, often don't know that they're paying FedBid. What difference does that make, Dan?
Oh, it makes a big difference. The agencies have to decide whether these auctions are cost-effective. There are a good number of auctions, something like a third of the auctions GAO looked at, where there was no competition, and yet agencies are often paying. According to GAO, again, agencies were paying more than $3 million in 1 year for reverse auctions in which there was no competition. If agencies don't know how much they're paying, they can't figure out whether what they're paying is a reasonable amount. And the fact is that they don't know how much they're paying. And FedBid, with all respect for all the good work they do, FedBid has no interest in making it clear to agencies that the agencies are paying a fee, typically 3%, although sometimes lower, typically 3% of the cost. 3% may be great if you're saving 10 or 15 or 20% on the price you you've been paying for the commodity, but you're only going to get those savings the first time round. The next time you do a reverse auction on the same commodity, obviously, you're not going to get another 15 or 20% savings.
Now, but just let's think about one example, and I don't even know how you measure rock salt, but let's say you buy it by the metric ton, and you pay a dollar for a metric ton of rock salt through a regular contracting vehicle. If you can get on FedBid and get it for 98 cents, what difference does it? And that's the final, that's the net price that you pay, including fees. What difference does it make how much the fees are?
Oh, well, that could be a good deal. But suppose the next time you compete for rock salt, you again pay $98. Was it 98
cents? 98 cents, yeah.
You're selling your rock salt cheap, just for the well, record. 98 cents. You've now got no savings over the prior reverse auction, and in fact, you might have just been able to run an old-fashioned sealed bidding procedure at this point, expecting 98 cent as your independent government estimate, and yet you're still going to be paying 3%. The 3% that seems like a bargain when you're dropping from a dollar to 98 cents may not feel like a bargain when your prices essentially stay the same.
I see. So as this progresses, what's the solution? Is the solution just for the data to be more widely shared? Is the solution to let the market play out and let more competitors get in? Because as you say, it seems to some folks at least to be a low barrier to entry. Or is there some other solution here, Dan?
Well, there are two solutions. One, if we're going to keep having a private company run these things, and that may be a fine solution, if we're going to do that, we've got to be sure that federal officials do their job. As I said in my testimony, Francis, they're essentially abdicating their responsibility. They need to get on top of this. This is a function that is closely associated with inherently governmental work, awarding federal contracts. The federal officials need to collect the data. They need to be sure they meaningfully control what FedBid is doing. The alternative, that's the one approach, and we should probably be doing that in any case. We got to train federal officials. We've got to be sure that they are qualified and prepared to control this private company. The alternative is to say, GSA, run with it. Use your reverse auctions, for which GSA does not charge a fee. And you compete, GSA, you compete against FedBid. Ideally, we'd like to see a situation in which FedBid has competition, whether it's public or private competition, and let us see what happens. Let us see if GSA can really do electronic reverse auctions as well or even better than FedBid.
One of the things that I love about talking about these issues with you, Dan, is that your body of knowledge is just incredible. You wrote in this testimony, "I learned recently that the small nation of Macedonia routinely conducts a large number of reverse auctions every year, run solely by government staff." First of all, how in the world did you ever find that out? And second of all, what can we learn, not just from Macedonia, but from other places, maybe at the state and local level or other places where reverse auctions are being used?
I'll tell you, when other people go on spring break, they go to like Fort Lauderdale. I went on my spring break about 3 weeks ago. I got invited by the American Chamber of Commerce for Macedonia, AmCham Macedonia. They invited me to come over. They don't pay me all. They do cover my travel costs. And I spent a week meeting with government officials and private sector people in Macedonia. It was fascinating. It is a small country. They don't have a particularly sophisticated procurement system. But when I said to them, "You all do a lot of reverse auctions," they said, "Yes, we do." I said, "Do you use a private company?" They looked at me like I was crazy. They said, "No, we train our government officials to run the reverse auctions, and they work fine." They do run into the same problem that we have here. And that is too often they only get one bid coming in. That's a big problem in every system. But reverse auctions are hot around the world. The Brazilian government loves them. The Russians told me at one point they were going to have only reverse auctions for everything they buy, to which I said that may be very unwise.
Well, for them, not for us necessarily. Might be great for us if they do their next fighter jet by reverse auction or something like that. That might be outstanding for national security.
One of the great things about GW Law School, Francis, is that our professors are out there listening and teaching and learning across the world, whether it's learning from state and local governments here in the United States or speaking overseas, so that we can share those experiences, as I was able to do, with the House Small Business Committee on this issue.
Well, if somebody missed that hearing and missed your testimony, I commend my colleague Sean McCauley's story to you about it, and we have your testimony linked there. Was there anything that you expected the committee to want to talk to you about that they didn't cover with you, Dan?
No, they were very engaged. I was impressed by the number of members that showed up on both sides of the aisle. By the way, it's another example of acquisition being a bipartisan, nonpartisan issue. There was no tension between Republicans and Democrats. They were clearly all interested in looking for what's good for the procurement system. They were very worried that reverse auctions are bad for small businesses. And I told them, I'm not so sure that these are bad at all. The problem is, when you're talking about small buys, those small buys, as you and your listeners know, are normally going to be set aside for small businesses anyway. So it's not clear when you hear that 80% plus of the money for electronic reverse auctions is going to small businesses, it doesn't mean that it's better than it would have been. It might have been just as good, just as high a percentage, even if they weren't using reverse auctions.
And that's where I wanted to leave it. The one of the knocks on reverse auctions is that they impact small businesses the worst. Have you seen that?
I am skeptical. I've heard it, and we heard it at the hearing from some of the other witnesses. They say that small businesses are foolishly being driven to offer bids so low that the companies are in economic trouble afterwards. What I told the committee was, I have great faith in American small businesses. I trust their business judgment. They're not going to foolishly bid a price that's going to cause them to go under.
Yeah, that wouldn't make sense. I mean, I would think if you were willing to do that, then you probably weren't going to stay in business very long anyway.
I trust our small businesses.
Excellent to talk to you as always, my friend. Thanks
for being here. A pleasure, Francis. Thank you.